Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We appreciate you. On a Target Demo Friday, you will see the meme. We have released the Kraken. It is Mraz and Peter Schwartz as volunteer firemen. Mraz dressed as such. Schwartz dressed in an Aaron Judge jersey. Mraz claimed this week that volunteer firemen are only in it for the friends and for the ping pong table.
The ping pong is the real key. Free ice, too.
Let us know if you agree. Coming up this hour here on the show, our friend Ty Dunn is going to join us, NFL insider. We'll talk about last night's game as well as the NFL going into this weekend in 20 minutes with Tyler. In 40 minutes, interesting line in the AFC West, Raiders winless versus the Broncos 2-1. And guess who's the underdog? We'll talk about that in 40. Last night, the Bengals get the victory. But the story is Tua Tagovailoa taken to a hospital with the head and neck injury that he suffered last night. Coming off of last week, it was a scary scene for two reasons. Number one, when you see the, quote, fencing response, which is when neurologically, basically your circuit board shorts out and involuntarily your arms go forward and lock, or your fingers go inward like Tua last night. It's terrifying. And it happened on a football field with America watching. He had to be taken off on a stretcher, brought to a local hospital. Thankfully, he's got the use of all of his extremities, all of his body parts. And that's the main thing here. But clearly, the decision to play Tua Tagovailoa last night is going to be met with massive scrutiny. And the single most important part of this is Tua's health, short-term and long-term. Everything else pales in comparison. But from a Dolphins perspective, this is also worst-case scenario. I guess worst-case scenario is that Tua's career is permanently scarred. We don't know about that. But in terms of this season, Bridgewater played well enough That touchdown throw to Tyreek Hill was really impressive, getting it out there that far. But ultimately, what we saw last night was a Dolphins franchise that was 3-0, feeling good, positive vibes, a head coach that seemed above questioning and reproach come crashing back down to earth. Because not only did the Dolphins lose last night's game, they lost their starting quarterback. And you could win a lot more games, even though I'm not a huge Tua fan from a football standpoint, you can win a lot more games with Tua than you can with his backup. So that's the first part. The Dolphins are trying to make a postseason run. They're trying to have a special season. And now they've got a backup quarterback. Also, because of the specter of them forcing him back in or allowing him to play or ignoring the signs from last week, they are going to have to be far more conservative with when they bring back Tua. So who knows how long that could be, but I'm just going to throw a date out there. Let's say he was going to be out a month anyway. Now it's got to be much longer than that because of all of the speculation and scrutiny on whether he should have played last night, the NFLPA digging into this, etc. You also now have a should he have been playing question around Mike McDaniel, who again had pressed all the right buttons, done all the right things, said all the right things, was a charming, refreshing new head coach that wasn't going to hide behind coach speak and the traditional ways of answering questions. And now you've got a lot of questions surrounding him and his decision making. You have a team that clearly was emotionally rattled last night, standing around in the middle of the field, watching their starting quarterback be lifted up on a stretcher. And you know the questions are coming this week to all of the players in that locker room. Should he have been playing? I also wonder about the Dolphins organization that has been a mess for a long time. And it finally felt like they had crawled out of that by hiring the right guy in Mike McDaniel, in assembling a roster that was balanced with talent, in acquiring Tyreek Hill. It has felt like a fresh start for the Dolphins. And now this thrusts you right back into all the questions that we've had about dysfunction within the franchise. So for the Dolphins, this is really worst case scenario because everything is negative about what happened last night. Everything. Besides the fact that Tua had full use of his body parts and appears to be okay. As McDaniel said, all it was a concussion. Although that was a little too glib, I think, about something so serious as a brain injury. In terms of that decision, this is a real hard one because your instinct as a human, and mine was last night, my God, they let him play. And he looked like he had a concussion last week. He suffered a concussion last week. We all saw it with our own eyes last week. And they put him out there on the field 5 days later, and then this happened. The Dolphins are culpable. The Dolphins are responsible. How could they let that happen? How could Mike McDaniel, how could the front office, how could the medical staff let that happen? And that, I'm sure, is how you all feel today. And that's a very valid feeling because of what we saw him do last week, which was stumbling around trying to grab his balance. And it certainly looked like a head injury. I mean, he couldn't walk without the help of other people, and he was holding his helmet. Well, that looks like every concussion we've ever seen. But I think when you take a step back from it, you have to realize that this is in play, that he did not suffer concussion last week. It just really looked like it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend one way or the other that he definitely had one because I didn't run him through a battery of neurological tests. I wasn't the independent neurologist on site last week clearing him to go back onto the field last weekend. I wasn't at the facility all week long. I can't speak to that. I know what I saw, and it looked like a concussion, but I'm only going by what it looked like. And It is distinctly possible that all of us saw something that we think looked like a concussion, but it wasn't. That it was a back injury that threw off his balance, gave him weak knees, that he passed everything perfectly from a neurological standpoint, from a concussion standpoint. And they really did feel comfortable putting him back out there because he actually never suffered a concussion. That is in play. You have to allow that to be part of the reality because none of us have any more information than just having seen what we saw last week. But I can criticize the Dolphins in this regard. If he did suffer a back injury, thus proving to make his balance off or his legs weak, compromising his lower body strength, meaning that perhaps he was not 100% to be able to play quarterback in the NFL, then that's got to be in play as well. And Mike McDaniel was answering that question last night also. Was it the right idea to put him in this game? Do you regret it? And what McDaniel said is, I've got no regrets because last week he didn't suffer a concussion. What I think then can be asked is, if he had a compromised back, should he have been playing last night in a five-day work week? And this also opens up that next kettle of fish. And that is, what's the price of Thursday night football? Of course, Tua could have suffered another concussion this Sunday, Monday night. But when you play on these short weeks, which a number of players have been critical of, and then you play 5 days later after either a head or a back or both injury, you do put yourself in compromised situations. Now, look, everybody gets rich doing this. Amazon paid a lot of money for this package. Before that, Fox has done it. CBS has done it. You know, NFL Network had this. This is worth money to everybody. But what's the cost? The cost is putting guys back out there after 5 days to go try to play a violent football game again. And I will point to Richard Sherman and note that during his playing career, Richard Sherman was wildly critical of Thursday night football. Short weeks, no rest, bruised bodies going back out there compromised. And when the money came around, Richard Sherman took it to be an analyst. He was on that set last night. He's taken Amazon's cash. So he's one of many that gripe and grouse about why are we playing Thursday night football games, but when the check clears, we suddenly conveniently forget all about our reservations about it. I want to play for you LeSean McCoy's audio from the I Am Athlete podcast. Shady has been pretty outspoken about a lot of things, and Shady has always had quite the opinion, but recently I think he's now delving into the space of some very hot takes here, I would say. That's a fair way to put it. And remember, last week he bashed Eric Bieniemy, saying Bieniemy doesn't know anything, the players don't respect him, that he just argues with players. And now this week, here is what LeSean McCoy said on the I Am Athlete podcast about Kyler Murray.
He's trash.
Kyler Murray?
Trash.
Wow.
Overhyped, overrated. Trash? He put like high school player. Runs around.
I think he's overhyped.
Runs backwards. He does a circle, the ballerina circle, then goes left, goes right, turns all the way around again, then looks for a wide receiver. He's trash. That's how you play quarterback.
So Mahomes can do
that? He ain't Mahomes. And let me tell you about Mahomes real quick. Now, sometimes he goes off script because we all can do that. Not every pass. Every pass is holding the ball. Let's make a miracle. It's really embarrassing, to be honest. Like, who's coaching this kid?
So, that's a spicy meatball from LeSean McCoy, former Pro Bowl running back. There's a couple of things I agree with him. Number one, and a couple of things I disagree with. Number one, I agree, he ain't Patrick Mahomes. When Mahomes goes off script and runs around and does a pirouette and then throws a football downfield, Mahomes has proven over the course of his five-year career to be far superior to Kyler Murray's playmaking in almost every simple every single way. I mean, so let's not even say that when Mahomes freelances, it's the same as Kyler Murray freelancing. No, Mahomes plays within the structure of an offense and then can freelance, but has shown the ability, the hyper skill set, sophisticated skill set to understand defenses, to pick apart defenses, to throw on time, to throw on rhythm, to throw on accuracy with the proper footwork, to spread the ball around, to win in big games, to win in the playoffs, to win in a Super Bowl. He's done all of those things, and he freelances. That's not the same as Kyler Murray. And I think a fair question is, who's coaching this guy, Cliff Kingsbury, and what has he ever proven besides being a good-looking guy that can dance a little bit to help, you know, hook in recruits and recruits his moms? I mean, as I've said before, Kyler Murray being coached by Cliff Kingsbury is somewhat of a lark because Kingsbury is just as unaccomplished as Kyler Murray. And now they're working hand in hand. I mean, do I trust Cliff Kingsbury to polish a quarterback to win playoff games? No, I don't. To build programs, because he's never done it. Everywhere he's gone, it's the same bit. Where I disagree with LeSean McCoy is I don't think that Kyler Murray's trash. I think that's completely unfair. I do believe what Shady is getting at is fair, is a fair criticism. That Kyler Murray's by and large success comes from when he freelances. That when you see Kyler Murray succeed, it is oftentimes just skittering around the field because he's faster than everybody, outracing would-be pass rushers and just kind of making a play out of nowhere. And there's only so long that works. You know, Mike Vick was amazing at that at Virginia Tech. Mike Vick could do that early in his career. Quickly, he was unable to do that and thus became a somewhat, you know, pedestrian, at times above average, but sometimes pedestrian quarterback. Just being the fastest guy in the field doesn't help you very long at quarterback. And I think Kyler Murray does suffer from this ailment of, you know, I'm just faster and I'll just make something happen. So I'm just rolling with it. And he's even said, like, he doesn't like to study. He thinks he sees things before anybody else sees them on the field. He doesn't necessarily believe in all this film work. He just believes in going out and balling. And that's a fair critique of Kyler, which is why I don't think he'll ever be a championship quarterback. But it's not fair to call him trash. I mean, trash means you're nowhere near the NFL. And in terms of starting quarterbacks in the NFL, he's not trash either. You know, he's not a guy you dig up and you don't want to start, but you have to start. You know, he's not Sam Darnold. He's not Mitch Trubisky. He's not Drew Locke or Geno Smith. I mean, you know, if you want to do the layers of trash, number one, trash quarterbacks aren't in the NFL. Number two, trash quarterbacks don't win Heisman trophies. Number three, trash quarterbacks don't make massive amounts of money and are given the franchise QB reins, and they don't lead their team to the postseason last year. You know, starting, and if you were going to say this via starting quarterback in the NFL, he's also not one of the five or six worst, which is what you would say is trash. Does his style of play feel too loosey-goosey and at times a little too lucky just because he's so fast? Yeah. And that I can get on board with LeSean McCoy's criticism. Hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS, on this Target Demo Friday, and let us know where you are, how you're listening. When we come back, Tyler Dunn, NFL Insider, is going to join us, and we'll talk about the Tua situation last night. And from an NFL standpoint, what's the fallout if the NFLPA is going to press on their investigation? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
McDonald's French fries, even though he can afford prime rib and all that, even though Tiger Woods can afford prime rib.
And what can Tiger Woods afford now?
Prime rib.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. A Friday morning prime rib sounds nice. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Sunday morning football comes your way, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time each and every weekend on Sunday mornings. We'll have Jaguars great Fred Taylor join us on Sunday after the Jaguars, very impressive last 2 weeks, shutting out the Colts and blowing out the Chargers. We'll talk to Fred Taylor about this new-look Jags team and do all of the rest of the reaction to college football Saturday and previewing NFL Sunday on Sunday Morning Football, right here on these same CBS Sports Radio stations and on the free Odyssey app. Joining us this morning here on the show is one of our favorite guests. He's an NFL insider, writes a fantastic newsletter and website, long-form pieces about the NFL at golongtd.com. He has covered the Bills and the Packers locally, the NFL nationally for the Bleacher Report, and now he's also the author of a new book, The Blood and Guts, How Tight Ends Save Football, our friend Tyler Dunn. Ty, good morning.
Good morning, DA. How in the heck you been, man?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Last night was a scary situation with Tua Tagovailoa. Give us the details on how this works. So Tua suffers what looked like a concussion last week. Is there an independent neurologist not associated with the Dolphins last week that then has to green light Tua back into last week's game? And then what is this week like in terms of concussion protocol for him?
That's what we're all led to believe. Right? I mean, that's what is in place in the new CBA, and it's been the case for a while, is an independent neurologist takes a look at all of these situations. I mean, we've seen players get looked at by these guys for far less and much, much less than a quarterback whose head clearly bangs off the turf and he gets up, he stumbles around, he falls down. So, I always hesitate to try to pretend to be a doctor like we all should. It seems like on Twitter, anything that happens, everybody is all of a sudden MD. But we all saw what we saw. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to put two and two together. That was brutal. And then for him to turn around and play a football game just a few days later, it's a really, really bad look for the NFL. And, God, I hope Mike McDaniel's right. I mean, he was pretty forceful in his comments after the game in saying that, this was not a head injury against the Bills. And it is now, and they're going to take all the right precautions. Every player I've talked to about Mike McDaniel loves Mike McDaniel as a person, as a coach, how he relates, all of that. So It's hard for me to take the leap and just assume that Tua had a concussion, but we all saw what we saw. And if that's the case, I mean, they're going to investigate it. They are investigating it, the NFLPA, and let's hope it's independent, that the NFLPA is legitimately looking into this and they're not in cahoots with anybody. If it does turn up that that was a concussion against the Bills, holy heck, there will be heads to roll.
Well, how would we know if they were in cahoots? Because who's going to press the investigation? The investigation has to come from the NFLPA, right? So it's up to the PA, Players Association, to figure out if the NFL and the Dolphins were in the wrong with the medical team.
Well, I mean, I think that Ryan Leaf, you know, and I've had a lot of conversations with Ryan Leaf for my site and just personally. And I mean, you could see his raw passion. I don't have it right in front of me, but he called out the NFLPA, just quote tweeted their own account and basically blasted them for always kind of being in cahoots with the league. And he believes, and he has said this, that they're kind of working toward the same thing here, toward the same goal, and that they really don't have the players' best interest at heart. I've heard grumblings here and there over the years when it comes to concussions. Let's hope that the Players Association is legitimately going to look into cases like this, because it's one thing to tear up your knee. It's another to do damage to your brain. As we've seen, it's scary. It changes who you are to your core years down the line.
Tyler Dunn joins us, NFL insider. GoLongTD.com is his website. When you say you've heard grumblings for a while about concussions, what type of grumblings?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that there was the first story I did at Bleacher Report, I hung out with Chris Borland. And so just wanted to see, this was back in 2016, and just kind of wanted to see what his life was really like. You know, now that he had it'd been a while removed from football, like was he able to find his happiness, his purpose in life? It was a
he had retired after just one season in the NFL, right?
You got it. Yep, Wisconsin linebacker, great rookie year with the Niners, and was just kind of he did his research and decided, hey, I don't want to put my brain at risk in this game. And we all kind of thought that he might be changing the way a lot of players think. I'm trying to think back. I believe he mentioned that there was paperwork that both the league and the PA had kind of citing what concussions can do to you later in life, and that the NFLPA basically kind of wanted this to go away in the worst way, which is counterintuitive to really looking after the player's best interest. I remember I heard from the PA shortly after that story came out, and I don't know. It's a bad look. I'm trying to think back to exactly how it went down, but let's just say let's hope that the players' best interests are put at heart here.
Well, explain to us why the Players Association wouldn't have the best intentions of the players at heart.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of money on the line, right? There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of money to be had. And at the end of the day, that tends to drive a lot of decisions for a lot of people in life. So it's hard for me to take that leap, DA, because I do know there's a lot of really good people in the PA. And in terms of in the office and the players who are in positions of power to look after players who don't have power, I do think that over the last 5, 6, 7 years, with what we've learned about concussions and what has kind of been brought to the forefront, and the fact that there are a lot of players dealing with a lot of stuff kind of sprinkled in there too. I mean, you're talking depression, loss, not knowing what to do once you're done with the game. It's a very complicated topic to get into, but I think that concussions often is central to all of that. And I feel like overall, that the awareness level is really, really good, and that everybody seems to be moving in the right direction. Because, look, when this happened with Tua, I think it's a good thing that everybody is, you know, up in arms about it, because we should be. I mean, this isn't just any old injury. This is changing people to their core when you're talking about the brain. So I think that overall, whether it's the public, the PA, even the league, that it is moving in the right direction. Let's just hope that the Dolphins are right here and that it wasn't a concussion in Buffalo, because if it was, I mean, if he did really bang his head on the turf, suffer concussion, they knew about it and they said it was something else, that's going to set everything back years. We'd be back in the 80s and 90s if that was the case. So I think that Mike McDaniel's a really stand-up guy, and I've only heard good things about him, so I'm just going to sit here and call him a liar. But let's see how this investigation plays out. And if things check out, great. If not, holy hell, like I said, there'll be heads rolling, because this is as bad as it gets.
Yeah. I share your sentiment that hopefully you get truth here. Hopefully there's an investigation that gets to truth here. Hard necessarily to make that a certainty that we'd get truth here, but that Mike McDaniel comes off as a really forthright, authentic guy that has players' best interests at heart, and it's hard to imagine that he would put a quarterback in harm's way, especially a starting quarterback, 5 days later if he really did feel like there was a concussion. It's hard to believe that. So we'll see.
I'm with you. That's why I'm kind of like hedging here. It's hard for me to take that leap and say, Mike, he suffered a concussion and they threw him out there anyways, because I think this is a coach that does get a DA. I mean, I feel like he is what you're looking for in a modern day coach. So it's let's see how it plays out. But it was scary, and it was not anything you want to see on a football field. Which, by the way, this is what, a week or two after we saw Dane Jackson's head snap back. I mean, I couldn't even watch that replay. It's a violent game. It's an unbelievably violent game.
Yeah, and for Mike McDaniel, he's young. He's an offensive coach. If this was an old school guy, a Vic Fangio, just, you know, a guy in his 50s or 60s, had been around the game forever, maybe a defensive minded coach, and was just like one of those meat grinders, you play through pain, you go out there, who cares? You could believe a little bit more in terms of the type of temperament that McDaniel has. It's harder to believe a really young coach who's offensive-minded, who works with quarterbacks, wouldn't care about a concussion to his starter and would just be like, rub some dirt on it, go back out there. That's a tough sell for me.
You just took the words out of my mouth, man, 100%, because you do hear this stuff with some of the old guard. I mean, the name I'd use is Mike Zimmer, and we did a series on the Vikings culture change from Zimmer to Kevin O'Connell, and this is the kind of stuff you heard with Zimmer, with the Vikes, when it comes to injuries and the way that he would treat players behind the scenes. It was ugly, and I think what I wrote just scratches the surface. Where you've got a guy like Terrence Newman, who's a Zim guy, and he played for him in Dallas and Cincy and Minnesota. He coached for him in Minnesota, and he did not hold back. I mean, he said, oh, this is basically a coach who just does not get the modern player, that the fact that the times have changed and is basically running guys into the dirt, treating them poorly. I think that there definitely are coaches where if this would have happened under somebody else, you'd say, oh yeah, I can connect those dots. It's hard. This is early into Mike McDaniel's career, right? We don't know a ton about him. From what we've heard though, he doesn't seem to be cut from that same cloth.
Tyler Dunn joins us this morning on the show. I know you were supposed to come on to help talk about your book, and we got him to the studios, and I thank you very much. I can't wait to dig into it. But we'll have to have you back on to really talk about this book when it's not such a lightning rod topic with Tua. But I wanted to ask you this. Your Blood and Guts book about the tight end evolution of the NFL is a really cool look at the history of where the tight end position has gone. Today, who do you consider the best tight end in football?
Ooh, and I appreciate you having me back on, D.A. I think it's George Kittle, and he really is taking that mantle of preserving everything we love about the game, because I think as much as the tight end position has changed and evolved and become this pseudo wide receiver of the Kyle Pitts, I mean, George Kittle is a dude who, and we talked about it at length in the book, genuinely loves the grit and the grime of the job. I mean, he back to his Iowa days, he really pinpoints how he fell in love with that all, why he fell in love with it, and we see it today. And you know, schematically, hey, if you're willing to block and mix it up, hey, once you leak out, you know, and run a route, you're going to be one-on-one. You're going to be open. You've got that threat in your back pocket. So Yeah, I think it's Kittle. I really do. And now that he's healthy, which is good. I mean, they could use him. But even beyond the X's and O's, the fun and the authenticity in which he plays with, it's that says as much about the tight end position as anything.
So the book is called The Blood and Guts. It is about the evolution of the NFL's tight end. I know we got him to the studio. Is this available yet for our listeners to purchase?
Yep, you can absolutely pre-order it on Amazon. It's out October 18th. But you can pre-order it wherever you get books. But also, if you just go to my Twitter page, at Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E, I have it pinned there. There's a link. If you click that link, you can get it 30% off. So that deal runs, I want to say, another 8-9 days. So definitely take advantage of that. I cannot tell you how much fun I had hanging out with Dicka, Shockey, Gronk, Kittle, Tony Gonzalez. We span the whole country hanging out with these guys, throwing drinks back with many of them. It's a position with so many personalities, and by God, did they have stories that nobody's ever heard before.
That is awesome. Check it out. You can pre-order it now. The Blood and Guts by Ty Dunn. As he said, he's got a coupon for you guys for 30% off. Always great to catch up. We'll talk more about your book because I want to go through the history of the tight end with you at some point during this football season, maybe closer to the book release. So I appreciate you, brother.
Any day, any time. Thanks so much, man.
You got it, man. Ty Dunn joining us this morning here on the program. Excellent stuff, especially in the Tua situation. Speaking of, AB, standing by with your headlines.
D.A. Tua returned to Miami with the Dolphins overnight. That's the good news. The rest is mostly bad. Already under scrutiny for his head, then back injury. Sunday, the Dolphins watched their QB slam to the turf in the second quarter of Thursday Night Football. Tua down for 7 to 10 minutes before being stretchered off to the hospital, but again was good enough to fly home. Here again is his head coach, Mike McDaniel, not accepting your criticism of how they handle this situation.
That is, like, not what I'm about at all. And no outcome of a game would ever influence me being irresponsible as the head coach of the football team.
Teddy Bridgewater came in, like, Sunday, this time finishing the game. He helped the Dolphins take a 15-14 lead into the fourth quarter, but the Bengals rallied, 2 field goals and Joe Burrow's second TD throw of the night to win 27-15.
Just like I said, after the 2 losses, we just got 2 wins. Still a long season. We still got a long ways to go. Doesn't mean anything if we go on and lose the next 13 games. So, you know, we're going to enjoy this win. Enjoy the long weekend. Come back ready to go next week.
Burrow threw for 287 yards and the 2 scores as his team got its second win in 5 days after that 0-2 start. College football last night, number 19 BYU winning a rivalry game with Utah State 38-26. Tonight, number 15 Washington goes to 4-0 UCLA. The Seattle Mariners are almost back in the postseason.
First and third, the 1-2 on the way to JP. Swinging a line shot off the glove of Young at third. Here comes Moore from third. He scores. The Mariners win it. The magic number is down to 1.
That's Rick Riz on Mariners Radio. A 10-9 win in 11 over the Rangers has Seattle on the verge of the playoffs for the first time in 21 years. Yesterday afternoon's Oriole loss clinched a wild card spot for the idle Blue Jays. The Rays lost in Cleveland 2-1, failing to clinch for now. The Brewers could not take advantage of another Phillies loss, falling at home to the Marlins 4-2, so Milwaukee stays a half game behind the Phils for the last NL wildcard. And Shohei Ohtani lost a no-hitter with 2 outs in the 8th. He finished the inning, striking out 10 for a 4-2 win over the A's. He also extended his hit streak to 14 games. And I wouldn't normally mention NBA preseason action, but this game just finished in Japan. The wow. Warriors, a 96-87 win over the Wizards. James Wiseman, 20 points, 8 boards for Golden State. Steph Curry did play 6 points, 13 minutes. He missed 6 of the 7 shots he took. DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. It is a Target Demo Friday, so when you see the meme, the Target Demo Friday meme on Twitter, at DA on CBS. Let us know where you are and how you're listening, and if you agree with Mraz that volunteer firemen are only in it for the friends. Hey, Bogues, you're still there for me, right?
I don't want to be, but yes, I am.
You had mentioned last week that, or last hour, rather, that there was a lot of rules that the Schwartz family household had on buying jerseys.
Yes.
Was it more than just you're not allowed to wear a Yankee jersey with a name on the back?
Well, I mean, I guess having any rules about buying jerseys was stunning to me. Like, that's even a conversation that you can't buy me a Yankee jersey that has a name on the back. It's just a weird thing that would have come up in any conversation. But I guess it makes total sense for the Schwartz clan.
Are you believing it? Mraz was very emotional in denying that claim.
I want to be on Team Mraz here because nothing seems to be below Schwartz when it comes to wearing jerseys. As you pointed out, he did change Foley to Favre to save money, and he's doing it again now, right? Darnold to Zuerlein. So it seems like he would do anything, but that should be the one thing a real Yankee fan refuses to do since names are not on the back of their jerseys. So maybe this does mean enough to Pete that he actually put it in writing for his kids to sign, have it notarized, and their place in his will only exists as long as they honor this one particular wish.
I totally get why Mraz would be disbelieving of this because, again, Schwartz has played fast and loose with any type of jersey integrity. But I actually believe Schwartz because I think Schwartz is he's a guy that has peculiar standards or personal laws and rules but abides by them. I don't think you become the guy that collects a free hockey puck from a skate around, that collects multiple foul balls from a Long Island Ducks batting practice, that takes the shoe off of a G League player. I don't believe you are that guy without some internal, perhaps warped personal views. And if you're strict by them. In other words, you know, Mraz, how did Schwartz get into the good graces of the DA show again? It was by totally owning all of that stuff. He was unembarrassed about those things. And we were like, boy, you know, you should feel some shame. And he wasn't. And we're like, that's kind of refreshing that Schwartz owned it all. Isn't it possible that that same lack of shame, where we're like, wow, he doesn't believe he's wrong, would also formulate in himself as, I know what's right. And what's right is you don't wear a Yankee jersey with the name on the back. You know, it could cut both ways.
Yeah, but it's also very easy for him to say that when he hasn't been presented with the opportunity. I know that he peruses these jersey shops, and I have a feeling he knows he likes a better deal more than he likes his integrity, and that was my point. And oh, by the way, if somebody approached him and said, hey, Pete, we really need you to wear this Aaron Judge jersey with Judge on the back, and we will give you a free black and white cookie every day for the next month, he's doing it. So his integrity is there until something actually happens and he finds a loophole. Well, I had integrity, but what are we going to do? Turn out a black and white cookie? Like, it's a sham. I know that he would for that price.
Okay, well, maybe that's the next bet, is that we present Schwartz with an Aaron Judge jersey that says Judge, and we see what it would take to buy him off. And we say, if we bought you a black and white cookie every day for 6 months, would you wear this Judge jersey?
And he would. He would. He might say no quickly, and 15 minutes later come back to us off air. Are you guys serious about those cookies?
When we come back to the AFC West, there's a 2-1 team playing an 0-3 team. Guess who's the favorite? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Pina colada, get lost in the rain.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sing it, big boy, sing it. Not quite as good as Kate Fan, the Paul Allen Show in Minnesota this week, but decent nonetheless.
Oh, one in a million you.
Hey. Boy, that's a good singing voice. Remember, the DA show is available on the free Odyssey app, as is the rest of CBS Sports Radio. Plus, on the free Odyssey app, you can listen to Sunday Morning Football and have podcasts of the show at your disposal, including the PGP, the show about the show. And let me tell you, got to listen to the PGP yesterday. Of course, I knew what we talked about in Side A. Side B. Whew. Mraz and Bogish pulled no punches on the dysfunction of the newsroom right now. That was heavy stuff. Not even a laugh involved. It was really a beatdown of everybody inside the newsroom that's blowing it by mislabeling things, not cutting tape correctly, young guys that might be out the door early on a shift and they're late. Who, you guys? I thought it might be jokey. Maybe a few things seeped in that were serious, but boy, that was like 12 minutes of just like serious shop talk.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be jokey too, and then it was like 3 minutes in, and I think I just felt bogus out, and I knew we were here, and I knew this just going to be the place to vent, and if any of the young guys happen to listen to the PGP, maybe that is the inspiration they need to push a little harder.
Pete's not going to want to listen to this. Pete, your agita's already up, blood pressure up. It's a Friday, going into the weekend. Do not listen to Side B.
Oh, don't worry, I won't.
As you were teasing it, Pete did the, you know, grab the headphones and the huff and the puff. What's this about? What's going on? You got a little serious back here.
Yeah, Side A was all fun and games. Me and you breaking down last weekend here at Casa Amendolara. All the guys came over, their families, the kids. It was so fun to see everybody. Just have a cool, fun day. Drink some beers, drink some ciders, have some food on the deck. It was such a special Saturday last week with you guys and your kids and your wives. And then we broke that down on Side A. And then Side B was like dysfunction of the newsroom. These kids don't know what they're doing. Can Pete clean it up? What, they're disrespecting Pete of the CBS brand. I'm like, whoa.
Well, Bogus basically wants to send everybody to Kenosha before they do updates.
Not a bad idea.
I mean, Bogus even suggested killing one and hanging it like on a computer as a signal. If you do wrong, like a pirate or a Viking, he said, you leave the violators behind as a symbol for the next guy not to mess up.
That was the point in time where I said, I think we should wrap this up because now this feels really real.
Got a little dark.
You realize Bogus is annoyed. Bogus is not happy.
Yeah, I'd say. In the AFC West on Sunday, Broncos and Raiders from Las Vegas. You know, the Broncos are 2-1. The Raiders are still winless. And yet, who's favored in this game? The 0-3 Raiders. They are favored by a field goal some places, 2.5 in other places. So why is that? Why would Vegas install the 0-3 Raiders as the favorite over the 2-1 Broncos? Namely because nobody believes the Broncos are very good. That they've gotten by with two lucky wins. They got by against a bad Texans team 2 weeks ago. And last week on Sunday Night Football in a dreadful 11-10 outcome against Garoppolo and the Niners. And so this is how little faith the insiders believe and have in the Broncos, that even though they're 2-1 and going to winless Raiders, the Raiders under Josh McDaniel are still better. And part of this is being at home, but still better. At least in a neutral field, they'd be an even push. That's interesting. Keep an eye out for that on Sunday.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.